If you have your Bible, if you would stand with me to the honor of reading God's Word, we're going to read out of John 3:16. Our text of preaching will be in 1 John. We are studying through the book of 1 John, but we will read right now John 3, starting at verse 16, going through verse 21. This is a familiar passage. It's actually, I would say this is a familiar verse, and so we're going to read 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the Holy Begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. It is truth today. Thank you that we can come into a place and open up the Bible and hear from you. I pray, God, that you would begin to work and move in our hearts, that you would move in our spirit, that we would hear from you, Lord. Today's message might not be a popular message, but it's a very much needed message. Lord, we may get offended, and we may want to kick against what your word says. But today I say and ask that you would give us all ears to hear, that you would give us the willingness to not be afraid of the light, but to run to the light and not hide in the darkness. Father, help me be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child can understand. I understand of all people here, I'm held most accountable in strict judgment on my life, and I accept that place of a preacher of truth. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And as you're being seated, if you have your Bible, I'd ask you to turn to the book of 1 John. We are going through the book of 1 John. I want you to hear what John is saying, because John is the elder here. He is about in his 90s. He is communicating this letter to a church of young folks, about third generation removed from the actual resurrection of Jesus Christ, and some false teaching has crept in. There have been some former pastors that was once leading churches have been confused and been believing the deceitful doctrine, and now it's corrupting the church, and John wants to make sure that they know some things. And this series, we've kind of titled it, So That You May Know. And so John wants us to hear some things today, and I pray that we would hear him. And he wants us to know the truth. So in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, he begins that this is the message that we have heard from him. Who is the him? Jesus, to announce to you. So this morning, we get to hear from a man who heard straight from the mouth of Jesus, and he's telling us today, here's what he said. Isn't that neat to know that we get to hear a message that Jesus said, here's what it is? Aren't you glad to hear from Jesus instead of man? Huh? Because if Jesus says it, then it's true. If man says it, it might be true, right? Could be, could not. But when Jesus says it is, that's the way it is. And so he says, this is a message we've heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. God is light. Now what's that mean? Throughout the Bible, we have instances when God revealed himself as light. And that is one description that is expressed as of God. And in 1 Timothy 6:16, it says, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. And then in James 1:17, it says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. With him there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the Old Testament, light is often the medium of God's visible revelations to man. It was the first manifestation of God himself when he created the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. When God made a covenant with Abraham, it wasn't a man-made covenant. It was a God-made covenant. And when God made the covenant with Abraham, it says that God cut the covenant. And they cut the animal. And a burning flame walked through in between them. That was the Lord Jesus. In the Old Testament, we're also told that God in a pillar of fire led the children of Israel. And that fire descended upon Mount Sinai and it appeared in an luminous cloud and rested on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. In Psalm 44:3, it says that you're the light of your face, O God. And Ezekiel talks about the radiance of God is like a rainbow on a rainy day. And also that the radiance was just is all around him, and from his loins upward was brightness like gleaming metal. Isaiah 51:4 says that my justice will be a light to the peoples. And in Luke 2, that the glory of the Lord shone around them. And in Ezekiel again, that the court was filled with the brightness of the glory of the Lord, and his radiance was like the light. In Matthew 17:5, when Jesus was transfigured, it says, while he was speaking, that there was a bright cloud that overshadowed them. Light is immaterial, diffusive, pure, and glorious. In the condition of life, light must be present for life to happen. Physically, it represents glory. Intellectually, it represents truth. Morally, it represents holiness. As immaterial, it corresponds to God as spirit. As diffusive, to God as love. As the condition of life, God as life. To illumination, that God is self-revealing. What does it mean to say that God is light? It means that God is truth. That God is holy. That God is perfect. And that God is life. In Revelation, when we went through the series in Revelation a while back, we saw pictures of Jesus in the throne room of heaven. And in Revelation 4:5, it said, out from the throne come flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And then Revelation 1:14, it says that his head and his hair were white like wool, like snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. And we saw the holiness and the righteousness of God. Hebrews, it says, our God is a consuming fire. And we saw when we see Jesus in the throne room in heaven, and he's pure and holy, and he's white, and he's bright, and his eyes are a flame of fire, that he just doesn't see, look to us or on us, but he sees through us. That Jesus knows our very thoughts. He knows the very deep, dark secrets of our heart. And he peers in, and he knows everything about us. All of the things that we try to hide from other people, God sees and God knows. God is light. Light is life. Jesus is life. Life is in the light. Look at your neighbor and say, life is in the light. What you need to know today, that life is in the light. Put that on your Facebook page, tweet that out, do something with it. Life is in the light. I'll write this so that you may know that life is in the light. And in John chapter 1, it tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him, this is talking about Jesus, was life. and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. But there was a man who was sent by God. His name was John. This is not John who wrote this Bible, who wrote this book, but it is John the Baptist. Now, he was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, Scripture says, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Life is in the light. Jesus is the light. There's life in Jesus. It says, John says, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There's no dark places in God. How many of y'all got some dark places? I got some dark places. What about you? But God has no dark places. He has no corruption. He is pure. He has no sin. And we look at the world and we say, why is the world so messed up? Why is the world so awful? And a lot of people have a tendency to blame God for all of the bad things that happen. But what John wants you to know, that there is no darkness in God. He is completely pure. He is completely holy. He is completely righteous. All things in the light are blessed by God. There's no darkness. There's no evil that comes from God. It comes from the enemy. It comes from Satan. Satan dwells in the dark. The enemy dwells in the dark. Our secret hidden things that we want to hide from God is in the dark. But Jesus is light. And in him there is complete no darkness at all. Because there's life in the light. Remind your neighbor, hey, there's life in the light. That's what we want to be about. We want to be in the light. We want to be in Jesus. Now, there was some false teaching going on, and there was a group called the Gnostics. And the Gnostics said Jesus really didn't come in the flesh. They denied the central belief that Jesus was 100% man, 100% God, 100% of the time. That he was fully God and yet fully man. And so they denied that. And in our world today, we have scholars, they still try to deny that. Well, who could think that God would become man? But he did. And John wants you to know that he did, that God became man. And this group of teaching would say, Jesus really didn't come in the flesh, because really our flesh is evil, and our flesh is bad. So God would never dwell in something bad. And so he didn't really come, he only appeared to come. And since our flesh is bad and evil, then it really doesn't matter how you live your life as long as you are spiritual. You can live however you want to, do whatever you want, it doesn't matter because your flesh is bad anyway, so that doesn't matter. So just go do what you want and just be, and then let your spirit be in a spiritual life. And John wants them to know some things. There's three errors that we're going to address in 1 John. You ready? Here we go. In 1 John 5. And starting with 1 John 1:6. Now watch what he says. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and yet what? Walk in the darkness. We lie and do not practice the truth. Okay? Now, so what's going on here? Well, he's confronting this belief. What he's saying here is, this is some people who claim to be Christians, who say, I'm saved, but I'm going to live however I want to. I'm just going to sin and not think twice. I'm going to walk in darkness when I claim to have fellowship with the light. That's not possible. You cannot be a Christian and just continually walk in darkness. It says that this walking, this verb walking, is a continual lifestyle and action. It's to embrace sin and say, you know, it really doesn't matter. I can be a cheat and I can be a Christian cheat. I can be a thief and I'm a Christian thief. I can be an adulterer, and I'm just a Christian adulterer. I just can't help myself. You know, that's just who I am. I'm a homosexual. I'm a Christian homosexual. That's all I, you know, there's nothing. I'm just going to embrace it. I'm not going to see anything wrong with it. I'm just a Christian gossip. I'm just a Christian whatever. And I'm just not going to see that there's nothing wrong with the way that I'm living. I'm going to live both ways. I'm going to claim that I'm a Christian, but yet live however I want to. I'm going to claim that I'm going to heaven while I'm going to live like hell on earth. Hmm? You know some folks that think that way. There's a bunch. That's not the doctrine of grace, by the way. The doctrine of grace is this, that we are sinners in desperate need of a Savior, and we cannot save ourselves, and Jesus died for our sin so that we no longer have to be a slave to our sin. That's grace. Jesus didn't save us to say, hey, you're going to heaven, so go ahead and just live however you want to, do whatever you want to. Just misbehave, live in that dark, live it up. That is a false teaching that John's correcting. Jesus says some things about this type of walking in darkness and light. If we go to the next slide and we go to a passage in John 11:9, Jesus answered and says, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not what? Stumble, because he sees the light of this world. Now what happens when we walk in darkness? We go on to the next slide, and we hear in John 3:20, for everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. When you do things you're not supposed to, isn't it funny how sometimes that when we're sneaking around and doing things we shouldn't be doing, how many of y'all do it just right out in the open where everybody can see? How do y'all sneak around and try to do it where nobody sees, huh? Am I the only sneaky one here? You do it in the dark because why? Because you know that if you do it in the light, your deeds will be exposed. And those who do not know Jesus, they walk in the dark and they don't care that they're walking in the dark. And they embrace it. And they say, I'm just going to live however I want to. I don't care what God says. But Jesus says, you need to walk in the light. Because that's where life is. God doesn't bless the dark things. How many of y'all got some dark places in your life? How many of y'all got some things that you know doesn't need to be there? And what I want to challenge you this morning is to run to the light of God today. Let him expose your deeds, and may you be truthful and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Because there's healing and there's life in the light. In the dark places, it's sneaky, it's corrupt, and it brings death. He says, if we claim this, then we don't practice the truth. Verse 7, look at 1 John 1:7. But if we what? Walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have what? Fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What he's saying, that if we will step out of the dark places and step into the light, we will be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. That's good news. We have fellowship with who? We have fellowship with God, and when we have fellowship with God, guess what that helps us have? Who else that helps us have fellowship with? One another. Have you ever noticed that when your relationship with God's not right, it affects your relationship with other people? And so when we have fellowship with God and we're walking in the light, it affects every relationship around us. It affects our relationship with our spouse, with our kids, with our friends, with our family. And so what he says is that we need to walk in the light and let the blood of Jesus cleanse us from our sin. Because what we need Jesus in our life, because there is life in the light. Who is the light? Jesus. The dark places are death. Jesus is what? Life. Now I want you to underline the blood of Jesus there and the word cleanses. We'll get back to that in just a moment, because we're going to talk about the significance of that. Now let's go on to the next error that some people were saying. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, We are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not where? In us. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. This is a Christian who claims that they no longer sin. And there are some denominations that will teach that you can reach to a state of sinlessness, and that's not true. It's the Christian that's more spiritual than anyone else. I mean, they've graduated to varsity, you're still on JV, you know. And I don't know why some of these Christians still deal with the things that they deal with. If they would just be like me, you know, and be super spiritual and know God the way that I know Him, they would be able to live sinless like me. Now, anyone who thinks that you can be a Christian and not sin, you must not be married, is all I'm going to say. You must not be married because, you know, I mean, when you get married, I mean, it's not always easy, amen? I mean, you get in fusses and fights. I mean, Michelle, she rips me up and down and she tears into me. And I don't know why she has to do that. If she could just be like me. No, it's just, no. Go around acting like you never sin anymore. You still struggle. You still have problems. You still sometimes give in when you wish you didn't. It's kind of like a story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 18. Jesus told a parable about a self-righteous individual, about a guy who thought that he was so perfect. And it says that a Pharisee and a tax collector, they both go to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee is standing there, and he looks over at the tax collector, and he lifts his hands up to God, and he prays this to himself and says, God, I'm so thankful that I'm not like this tax collector and this sinner right here. I'm so glad I'm not like him. I mean, I give all of my tithes, and I do this, and I do that, but I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I'm not a thief like he is, and I just thank you, God, that I am so wonderful. And then the tax collector, he says, he can't even look up to the heavens. And he beats his chest and he says, God, have mercy on me, the sinner. And Jesus says, that's the man that went home justified. So, if you think you're so super spiritual that you're sinless and you're perfect and you never deal with sin anymore, you're deceived. It says that you're deceiving yourself and the truth is not in you. Satan was a deceiver, wasn't he? Jesus says that when Satan speaks, he just speaks lies because that's his native language and he's the father of lies. And so when you believe a lie, where's that lie originated from? Satan. And it'll deceive you and it'll make you deceive yourselves. Now let's look at verse 9. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful. Who's faithful? He is. And righteous, who's righteous? And to forgive us our sins. Who forgives our sins? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins. Now here's the problem with America and here's the problem with our culture. We don't see a need to confess our sins because we don't call sin sin anymore. We call them problems. We say, well, society has failed you. You can't help it. You can't help that you're a liar. You can't help that you're drunk. You can't help that you're a whoremonger. You just can't help that. I mean, it's all around you, right? You just can't help it. No, the Bible doesn't call them problems. The Bible doesn't call them weaknesses. The Bible calls it sin. The problem in the world is sin. And what we have to do is call it for what it is. It is sin. And we don't like to do this because when we confess our sins, that word confess means this. It means to admit to a crime or a wrongdoing. And we don't naturally and easily do that, do we? Because we like to justify ourselves. We like to say, well, now, you know. But it says that we have to admit, Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. I mean, I am. I'm a cheat. I mean, I fudge the books every chance I get. I'm a cheat, God. I mean, I'm a thief, God. I'm a gossip, God. I mean, the pastor told me to come down and just confess my sins and lay my tongue on the altar, and it rolled off on the other side, you know. I mean, I'm just a lying gossip. Confess it. I admit to it. When we confess our sin, the most beautiful thing happens. He cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness. Because here's what we do. We try to hide in the dark because we don't want our sin to be exposed. And so we hide it. And when we hide it, it festers. And it becomes something ugly, and it raises up, and it destroys our life. It destroys our peace. It destroys our relationships with other people, and it makes us most miserable people. But when we bring it to God and let Him expose us with His light and confess it, He brings grace, mercy, and forgiveness, and He cleanses us. This is amazing. Go back up to verse 7, 1 John 7. Now, it says that if we walk in the light as He Himself is in light, we have fellowship with one another. And the what? The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What is the significance of the blood of Jesus? Well, in Leviticus, it talks about the Day of Atonement. And in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29, it says, "This shall be a permanent statute for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall humble your souls and not do any work, whether the native or the alien who sojourns among you. For it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you, and you will be clean from all your sins before the Lord." Atonement, at one with, to be made clean, to be made pure. Because a lot of times what we struggle with in life, and the reason why a lot of people in our culture are addicted to medication is because of they're trying to get rid of the guilt. And you can't do it through any other way than the cleansing power of Jesus. Now, what would happen? There would be bulls and there would be a bull and a goat, and the high priest would sacrifice, and they would sprinkle the blood on the altar, and it would make atonement for the sins of the people. All of the sacrifices in the Old Testament was pointing to a greater truth. All of the sacrifices in the Old Testament were a type of Christ. Jesus fulfills all the sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament. So therefore, when John the Baptist sees Jesus coming, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And upon his shoulders and upon the cross of Calvary, he became the Lamb or forgiveness for our sin. It's because of Jesus that we can be forgiven, and only through his blood. No other way, no other name, no other God, Jesus. The last lie that people were trying to teach and spread that John wants us to be aware of and that he correct us. Verse 10, John 1:10. "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." If we say that we have not sinned, who do we make a liar? Jesus. We make him a liar, and his word's not in us. We're telling him a liar. And these are folks who say, you know, oh no, I'm not a sinner. I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. I'm good. I'm real good. I mean, just ask my mom. I'm real good, right? Because if you grew up in church, most of the time, if you grew up in church, there's only four main sins. You know, if you didn't drink, cuss, smoke, have your sex life in order, then you were a pretty good fella, right? We didn't talk about anything else. We just talked about those. And so we've convinced people that they really aren't that bad. And they don't have sin. They're a good person. If you ask a bunch of people, if you asked 100 people, if you die, would you go to heaven or hell? Would you think most people, are most people going to think they're going to heaven, or most people going to think they're going to hell? Which one do you think? Huh? Heaven. Most people think they're going to heaven, right? Oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven. Well, have you confessed your sin before God and asked his forgiveness and invited Jesus to be Lord of your life? I haven't done that. But I'm going to heaven because, I mean, I'm better than so-and-so. I mean, I'm better than some of those people go down to living water. I hope you have a higher standard than that, right? Because we're just a bunch of sinners in need of grace. Have you noticed that you always compare yourself to someone worse than you? Huh? I mean, if I'm at a gym, I'm going to work out with somebody that's in worse shape than me. That makes me feel better about myself, right? If I'm on the treadmill, I'm not getting by some of you. I ain't getting by Michelle, or, you know, I just won't get on the treadmill. I embarrass myself on the treadmill, you know. But we always compare ourselves to somebody, what? Worse than us. No, we've all sinned. You know what the Bible says? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that there is none righteous, no, not one. So we all have sinned. We've all missed the mark. So what do we need? We are in desperate need of God to be in the light. But we're in the dark, so how do we get brought into the light? Well, look at Chapter 2, verse 1 of 1 John. He says, my little children. Now watch this. Now this is the elder John. He's about in his 90s. And he's speaking to a church. He's writing this letter to young Christians like us. He says, my little children. He's really wanting us to know some stuff here. Okay? He's wanting us to know his heart. He says, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Okay? The goal of a Christian is not to get up in the morning and say, well, I wonder how bad of sin I can get into today. Right? I mean, we don't try to sin. We don't want to live a life of sin. Okay? So we get up in the morning and we should be focused on God and say, God, this is your day. You've made it. You've saved me. Help me to live for you. Our goal shouldn't be, I wonder how mean I can be today, or I wonder how hungry I can be today. That shouldn't be our goal. Amen? So he says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, you know. I want you to know some things, he says. I'm writing this so that you won't sin. But if you do, and when you do, we have an advocate with the Father. Now, an advocate is a lawyer. And you don't need a lawyer unless you're in trouble, right? He says, when you get messed up, when you make a mess of things, when you drag up those dark places again and you try to hide in that, and you try to mask things, and you try to cover things up, here's what I want you to know. You step out of that darkness and you step into the light. And don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed, because we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's the righteous, we're not. He's the one that makes us whole, we don't. He is the light, we're not. We are to walk in that light. Look at verse 2. And he himself, this is where I got to be careful, because this word can mess with me. I can almost cuss. All right? And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. What does that word propitiation mean? It means this: that God is completely light. There's no darkness in him at all. We all thumbed our nose at God, and we sinned and rebelled against him. And so the wrath of God would be poured out upon us who are sinful. But Jesus, the righteous, went to the cross and became sin for us. He did not sin, but he became sin for us. And the full wrath of God was poured out upon his Son, Jesus Christ, so that the wrath of God might not be poured out on me. He took my penalty. He took my place. He took your place. And we can have grace, mercy, and forgiveness because of who Jesus is. Not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. That doesn't mean the whole world's going to heaven apart from Christ. What that means is that from every tribe and nation, for everyone who will call upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. For everyone who will trust in Jesus as light of the world, they'll be saved. For everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. This morning, some of you need to do that today. Some of you need to step out of the dark places and say, I need Jesus to be Lord of my life. You need to give your life to Christ. This morning, I'm going to ask that you would do that. Some of you are Christians, and you've got some dark places that you're holding on to. And you're trying to hide them from some other people. And it's really killing you, and it's destroying your walk with God, and it's destroying your relationship with other people. Don't be afraid to come to the line. I was listening to a pastor, and he said this girl walked up to him at time of invitation, and she was crying, and she said, Pastor, she said, I need to confess something today. She's like, no one knows this. No one knows. I've never told anyone. She said, but I feel so dirty and so guilty and so shameful. She said, when I was young, I got pregnant. And I didn't want to be pregnant. Said, but I went to a place and I had that taken care of. And I've lived with the weight of that shame for years. The pastor said that he looked at her and he just started smiling. He said, honey, somebody already knows about that. And she got this look of shock. He said, Jesus knows about that. And he loves you in spite of that. And he offers grace to you today and forgiveness to the bloodshed at Calvary. Some of you may be living in guilt and shame. And today, you need to step into the light and say, Jesus, forgive me. And allow his cleansing blood to do his amazing work in your life. Some of you may need just to recommit, rededicate your life. I don't know what it is you need to do, but I'm going to ask you to do business with God today. Live in the light. Life is in the light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much We thank you, God, that you are a God of light and that we can completely trust you. And Lord, I pray that we would not be deceived today through the enemy or through ourselves. And God, if there's some dark places that we're trying to hold on to and we're trying to walk in, Lord, that you would call us out today into your marvelous light so that we may receive from you your grace and mercy, healing, restoration, peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Let's come for whatever reason, whosoever will, for whatever reason come this morning.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond.